Walker.
Good evening.
Good evening.
You're the first one.
Okay.
Did you enjoy this morning's class, or were you not able to hear all of it?
I couldn't hear all of it. I was busy today, but I'm going to go back and listen to it. Did you post it?
Not yet. I will shortly.
Okay. I know it was a good class. Right.
Okay. I understand. I believe somebody else came on.
Hannah.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I was just asking what you thought of the first the class this morning.
Well, I thought it was great. I mean, I was exposed to Rabbi Nachman's 10 Psalms, is what we called it in the 90s, when Breslov first published The Sweetest Hour. And Judy and
right.
I were part of a ladies' group that we studied it, learned it, and then began to do Tikkun Hazot. So we're very familiar with but at
Brandela,
at that time, our motivation was not for sexual improprieties, but rather for mourning the temple and for the rebuilding of the temple.
When it's done as part of the Tikkun Hatzot, that's true. When it's done as part of Shabbat, it's for sexual improprieties. When it's done in other times, it really corrects everything.
Right, right. Now with my classes, I printed the 10 Psalms in English on a format that you could print them on cardstock and then cut them to the size of 5x8 cards and take them with you. Now today,
right.
You know, line, but so... I also have a CD, but I'll talk to you about that privately.
Okay.
Not take up time for the class.
The class tonight is a deeper Zohar class on the Parsha of Noah. We're in section 25. We're at verse 185, and I'll start with L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bit Hilu Erchimu Hilu Hilu Erchimu Le'akta L'shem Yud He Bavav He V'Yehuda Shilim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah V'ayhino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Konanei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Konanehu ובכל זמנה דדינה שריה על עלמה רוח קודשה אמר ועבד תלה השתכח כמו שתכתיב ויזכור וגומר איי המעלם Miyam Wigomer, Dikti Vayomer, Hashem El Moshe, Mati Tzakalai, Dehaihu Mitzlota, Salik Lon Min Yama, Ugin Deshave, Garmea Mitzlota, Alaihu, to Israel biyama, Igre hama alem, miyam dihu asek, lo min yama. So whenever judgment is upon the world, the Holy Spirit says, alas, there is no one like Moses. As it is written, then he remembered the days of Moses. Where is he who brought them up out of the sea? The verse tells us, Hashem said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me?" Showing that he himself brought them up out of the sea through prayer, and because he prayed for Israel upon the sea, he was called he who brought them up out of the sea, as he did bring them out from the sea. Questions, comments, thoughts? Everybody's quiet tonight. This is my favorite phrase, Mati Tzachalai.
I knew you were going to say that. I felt like this is Hashem saying, come on, move from faith to Vadai, to certainty. You've already done the work.
Absolutely. That's the message. You know, when you're faced with problems that are insurmountable, who do you cry to? And God says, why are you crying to me? Now, there's two ways to understand that. One is it's certainty, and I teach that if you have certainty, there's nothing that's insurmountable. And the other one is that the idea that you need to cry not to a lower level of Hashem, but to the higher levels. But in order to cry to the higher levels, you have to have experienced and made connection to that higher level, or those higher levels, because there are many of them. And you do that through meditation and through some of the unifications that are taught by the sages, and through various other techniques that we teach in our Sefer Yetzirah class. But the real message is people have the capability of doing anything and everything. You just have to have the certainty that that's correct. You have to have the certainty and be willing to expose yourself to changing yourself. And I would like to just point out one other thought. Because if you compare the verse in 184 that we talked about last week, Moses in this verse is being exemplified as repeatedly as bringing the children of Israel up out of the sea. Whereas in last week, if we take a quick look at that verse again, was that he was telling Hashem not to kill the Jews after building the golden calf. So the question you might ask is, why is the Zohar bringing these verses out of order? First he said, Mati Tzachalai. First they split the sea. Then they build the golden calf, and Moses has to petition Hashem for mercy. Why is it done in that order? Why is the petition for mercy presented in the Zohar prior to the action of growing and elevating yourself to certainty? So those are my comments on this verse. Should I go on, or should I let you think about it and comment about it?
I don't know if this is relevant, but I find it easier to have certainty when I pray for other people, for them to be delivered from whatever, you know, if it's sickness or whatever. But I have a more difficult time with myself It's almost like I have to have certain scriptures, you know, that would come to my mind, or it's not as easy, let me put it that way, for me to have the certainty for myself. So,
and that's sure. very common. That's very common, Hannah. It's very much the truth. But think about it. When you pray for someone else, do you need the certainty? Do you strive for the certainty? When you pray for someone else, most people don't strive to make a connection to certainty because they're praying for someone else to achieve healing or to achieve financial pressures, relieve financial pressures, or marital pressures, or whatever the particular problem is that their friend is going through. They're really doing it to support their friend. But when we talk about certainty, we're talking about you doing the work, you doing the action. That requires you to be certain that the action is proper. That's obviously going to be more difficult. And it's not about praying for Hashem to come do and save you. It's about you doing the actions to save yourself. It's two different frames. It's two different discussions. It's always easier to connect to certainty when you're praying for someone else, because you're not really invested in it. You're praying for them, you want it to be true, but you don't inject the consciousness of certainty, because it's up to Hashem to make that happen, not you. But when you're striving in your own tests, in your own boulders that you're trying to crawl over, climb over, that requires certainty. Because that requires mind over matter. Or you can accept the movie that you're in. Whatever the movie is going to show, that's what's going to happen. But you're asking to go above that movie, outside of that movie, to a new movie. That requires certainty. That requires the tool of the 72 names. And in order to activate the 72 names, it requires certainty. And even if you're utilizing the tools of the 72 names when you're praying for someone else, it's not up to you to activate those tools, because what movie your friend is in is the movie they've created for themselves. It's a lot easier to have certainty with your friend than it is with yourself. But the truth is, and this is the important point to realize and remember, your friend is you. And you do need to have certainty. And you do need to utilize the tools of the 72 names. Because your friend is you. And so if you would bring that level of certainty in activating the 72 names for your friend, it wouldn't be up to Hashem to make it happen. You would make it happen. That's the power of mind over matter. That's the power of your spiritual growth. I thank you for bringing that up.
So if we have the picture from the Torah of those holding up Moses' arms because of the length of time, then we can have that visual image in our meditation of ourselves with the tools holding us up.
Why limit it to the image. Bring Moses into your meditation. Bring Aaron into your meditation. Bring the tools of Moses' staff into your meditation. Bring Hur, who is the other person. No, it wasn't Hur, it was Joshua. Joshua was holding one arm and Aaron the other arm. Bring the people into your meditation. Why bring the image? You can bring the image, and that's one level of connection. But the certainty is...
bringing the image of Moses is bringing Moses into it. You know?
Yes.
I've used the sword being an image for the Tetragrammaton, and I've seen that bring some real miracles.
Yes, again, you're bringing the metaphor, because you've not been taught, or you don't perceive of where the people make it happen. And the metaphor is fine in that case. Metaphor of the Shema and the sword for healing is excellent. It works. But so does it work in your own life? That's where it takes certainty. That's where it takes people to be brought into your meditation.
Okay.
Would anybody else like to comment, or should I go on?
What if you have just all of a sudden one of the biblical characters appears? You haven't actually brought that into a meditation. You were just doing, like one time I was just driving down the highway. It was something I didn't do because of my husband and my oldest son always wanted to drive when we'd go out of town. So I said I needed practice to be able to drive on interstate and highway. And I wasn't thinking of anything spiritual. And all of a sudden, it was like a screen moved to the side, and I got introduced to Queen Esther.
And what did she communicate to you?
Well, it kind of shook me. I had to tell my husband to take over driving. What I heard was, I want to introduce you to someone. And she didn't face toward me. She faced toward the left, and she said, "Your Majesty." And then after that, so I've never really understood that particular thing. It happened quite a few years ago.
I believe I once told you to read the Protection from Evil by Rabbi Bar Sadak. And if I didn't...
I think I have
the Protection
it.
From
yes,
Evil.
Yes,
I know
have
you
the
have
book.
It.
Yeah.
That book creates the foundation to understand how, when you do meditations, that there are negative entities that enter those meditations, and then there are positive entities that enter those meditations. If you invite a positive entity, the negative entity won't come. But if you have not invited an entity, and you start to see an entity, you need to be very cautious and really be concerned that that might be from the negative system that is presenting themselves as an image, in this case of Queen Esther.
Well, I have a feeling at the time I probably was studying the Book of Esther. Yeah.
Exactly. That's why it comes at what you're studying. It comes as what's going to resonate with you. but it comes from the negative side because you didn't invite it.
Okay.
You know, if it comes at night in a dream, that can be a very positive sign. But if you're driving as you indicated, this is an entity that's using your concentration on the road as a vehicle to enter your meditation, to enter your space. And it's going to present itself in a way that you might want to see it.
Well,
and it's going to, you know, it has its own agenda. That's essentially what happens.
Well, the only thing I could think of was that it was a positive thing, that maybe down the road I was going to get in an accident and this was a way to get me back out of the driver's seat.
And I can't say I wouldn't say that that's not true. I said you need to be cautious, and you were cautious. We have a few minutes. We may end up going over time. And I have an appointment at 8, so my 8. So if unless somebody has something they want to ask, that I will call the class a little short tonight. So tonight's class, the 7 o'clock West Coast time class will be continuing the essay by Rabbi Ashlag. And that tomorrow's class at 7 a.m. Is the class on the mana. And if we have time, we will start the meditation and the discussion and the teachings of Psalm 17. Then tomorrow at 4:30, we will continue our deeper study of the Zohar, similar to this class. And the 7 o'clock class tomorrow night will be a Tikkuni Zohar class. So I bid you all shalom.
Hey, shalom. Thank you.
Thank you.
Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.